The Holy Gospel of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said to his disciples, "There was a rich man who had a manager, and charges were brought to him that this man was squandering his property. So he summoned him and said to him, 'What is this that I hear about you? Give me an accounting of your management, because you cannot be my manager any longer.' Then the manager said to himself, 'What will I do now that my master is taking the position away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I've decided what to do so that when I am dismissed as a manager, people may welcome me into their homes.' So summoning his master's debtors one by one, he asked the first, 'How much do you owe my master?' He answered, 100 jugs of olive oil. He said to him, 'Take your bill, sit down quickly, and make it 50. Then he asked another, 'And how much do you owe?' And he replied, 100 containers of wheat. He said to him, 'Take your bill and make it 80. And his master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the children of this age are more shrewd in dealing with their own generation than are the children of the light. And so I tell you, make friends for yourself by means of dishonest wealth, so that when it is gone, they may welcome you into their eternal homes. Whoever is faithful in very little is faithful also in much, and whoever is dishonest in a very little is dishonest also in much. If then you have not been faithful with the dishonest wealth, who will entrust you to the true riches? And if you had not been faithful with what belongs to another, who will give you what is your own? No slave can serve two masters, for a slave will either hate the one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So one of the commentaries this week that I read started right off in the first sentence and said, if you want to give a comfortable, lighthearted sermon this week, you better go someplace else. Yeah, we're all kind of scratching our heads at that gospel. So I want to read you part of what my friend Charles LaFond wrote about trifling with God. He started off this essay describing making a dessert called a trifle, which is a British dessert. And then he said, "The dish is impossible to get wrong, is cheap to make, and is usually just made with assembled whatever is in the house at the time." Life can be like that, Charles said. We can use the leftovers to make something quite wonderful, and we can make it wonderful by making it whimsical. I do not think I'm alone when I say that we are all trying so hard to get this right. Life, that is. And then, if you add the effort involved in being a Christian or a Jew or a devotee of just about any religion, there are all those rules to obey. Not to mention the fear that if you get it wrong, some divine old man in the sky will smite you, or at least scorch you with a carefully applied bolt of lightning. But what if we do not need to worry so much about pleasing an angry God? Indeed, what if God is not even angry? What if God likes us? At least as much as the rabbits and the trees and the deer and the porpoises and that blade of grass over there and that guy that you hate. What if a trifle is enough? What if we are all just doing our best to walk each other home? What if what we have around the house is enough to assemble a more than adequate, yummy life? To go with a good cup of tea among friends? What if, as hard as life can be sometimes, we have what we need already? So now remember that when I get to the part of this sermon where you start feeling a little uncomfortable, okay? In the last 2 years, it has become more difficult to actually preach the gospel without it sounding political and making people feel uncomfortable. Complaints come from all directions at most Episcopal churches, apparently, according to lots of my clergy friends. And St. Andrew's is right there with the rest of the Episcopal churches. Unfortunately, those complaints are made anonymously. The people complaining do not want to have a face-to-face discussion with the preacher, so they use one of the most destructive forms of communication there is. They demand anonymity. And they expect to be taken seriously. And the community suffers. Because the preacher now looks out and wonders, how many of you could be that complainer? It sets up a high sea level of suspicion and distrust. It overloads the lay leadership with worry. And it takes the point of view of all the rest of you off the plate, because we are people pleasers foremost. And so the complainers take up most of the discussions. So today, let's see our truly difficult scriptures through the lens of discerning where we each authentically need to work on our willingness to have open and honest face-to-face conversations about hard subjects. And I want you to know that I am actually preaching this sermon not more than a half an hour after, in the St. Andrew's room, there was a full discussion about race and white privilege. And it was a really good discussion. It was hard, and we recognized we didn't always have the language we needed to talk about, but we all got brave. Our gospel this morning must have actually shocked you and had you scratching your head and feeling a little uncomfortable. What about this dishonest manager? We're supposed to be like him? Well, you know what? You're all in good company across all the Christian churches that use this lectionary everywhere this weekend. And the clergy. But that's what actually a good parable is meant to do. And today has us examining our commitment to honesty and integrity. And to fit that together with wondering about what our golden calves are from last week, well, here we go. So I hope that all of you have gone on the website and you have read through the profile. It's an amazing profile. The first draft of the St. Andrew's profile, the phrases conflict aversive and no political preaching, jumped right off the page at me. And I actually was very proud of the profile committee for being so honest. Priests actually love that, when a congregation's willing to be that honest. But I did tell them that mentioning conflict aversive twice might be a little overkill. So I think they took those words out. But they did leave in the no political preaching. I would say that those two things are probably your cutting-edge community challenges to work on seriously over the next year. It's about honesty and integrity and actually having hard conversations. And the fact is that most of our churches in the U.S. are working on the exact same challenges. You are in very good company. And quite frankly, I would have it no other way. We have to relearn how to have civil conversations. It's really important. Actually, before we have the conversation, the hard conversation, we actually have to relearn, come up with language and tone and how we speak with people who don't always agree in the same circle. So here's the bottom line for all preachers. The gospel is political. Jesus was walking around in a highly politicized environment. I don't try to make the sound, what Jesus says sound conservative or liberal. I'm just supposed to preach what Jesus says. And I always know I'm going to make somebody feel uncomfortable or that it doesn't quite fit their opinions. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not rocket science. It is a grassroots revolution to live a life of mercy, forgiveness, and community love that welcomes all and reaches out to those on the margins and to those that have the greatest needs. Period. Full stop. We do that by examining honestly the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. My seminary New Testament professor said, you could not preach a sermon without preaching the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It just would not be the gospel truth. And we listen to the wisdom of the Hebrew scripture because that's what Jesus relied on. Jesus didn't have the New Testament. He had only the Old Testament, which we're trying to call the Hebrew scripture at this point. And in reality, we preachers are taught, and I bet lots of you have heard this before, this phrase, we are supposed to comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. And guess what? We are the comfortable. And so I felt afflicted this week with these lessons. And I really wouldn't have it any other way. I really do believe that the major reason I fell in love with the Episcopal Church in the 70s and 80s was because we dared to ask hard questions. All of us. At least we used to. And then we would have these fabulous conversations. As a little Irish Roman Catholic girl, I'd never heard those kind of conversations until I got into my 20s and joined the Episcopal Church. It was eye-opening. The Episcopal Church has always depended on our common prayer to bring us together at the center. Common prayer, that's why we have those red books, the Book of Common Prayer. To bring us together into conversations that help us to figure out where God is calling us to add to the kingdom of God and to do the kingdom work assigned to us, not through our agenda, but through God's agenda. Here at St. Andrew's, the Church Without Walls was assigned to you 12 years ago. Now, there are many more CWWs across this diocese. Good, active mission multiplies itself. We don't own it. We actually give it away. So what, I wonder, is the next great idea that St. Andrew's can shine light on and then give away next? Where were those conversations going to take you? 12 years ago, you decided that those in the greatest need in Springfield were your neighbors. And now they are a worshiping community of faith. Church planting is one way to grow the kingdom of God. And now there are many more of them. You just started it. Every time I place in a hand at CWW, even the hands of the most reluctant and tentative receivers, I place bread in those hands, I'm making a political statement of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm saying, I see you. You matter in the kingdom of God, and God loves you. Because that's what Jesus gave his life for. So that our remembering of his words and actions would help us pick up the cross of our day, this day, every single day, and follow in his footsteps. Good, healthy practices of communication are the hallmark of a thriving parish, the kind of parish that respects the leadership, both lay leaders and clergy, enough to be willing to risk having difficult conversations, to have the courage and integrity to have conversations that lead us to a common ground where we can stand together rather than our self-interest of the few. Keeping secrets and being conflict aversive will not get us anywhere where God wants us. It didn't work in the first century, as seen in today's scripture, and it doesn't work today either. So, when Eric and I put that piece of bread in your hand today, recognize it as Jesus' strength, gift of strength for your journey, wherever the Holy Spirit is taking this community next. It is the most important and joyful moment of our week. And remember, we already have everything we need to pick up the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's no trifling matter. Amen.